Okay. So let's see. So we were talking about the Gemara has been talking about then it's Mem Gimel Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. The Gemara has been talking about the whole issue of when lulav is and isn't Docha Shabbos, and also when Arava isn't and isn't Docha Shabbos. The last thing we had was there was the also the discussion in that regard. What exactly is the mitzvah of Arava anyway? Is it to put the Aravos around the Mizbeach, in which case basically that only applies in the Bais HaMikdash, or is it the waving or beating the Arava, Chavitas Arava, which can be anywhere? The last thing we had was then that we proved from the Sraitha, from that story about the Baitosim trying to sabotage the thing with the Arava and the Amei Haaretz coming to the rescue, that the thing is chibut arava, because even though it mentions that they stood the arava around the side of the mizbeach, but the Braita specifically says that the Baitosim don't agree that chibut arava takes place. Right. It is even necessary in the first place, let alone that it overrides Shabbos. Yeah.
The Tzedokim, they don't
right.
believe in Tzedokim.
Well, Baitosim, they're actually Baitosim, but it's hard to say really what the difference is between Tzedokim and Baitosim. It's hard to say really what the exact difference is between tzedukim. Yeah, Rashi says Tommy did biters for him tzedukim. Right. Nevertheless, though, you do tend to sort of see that sometimes the Gemara seems to more consistently use the word tzedukim and sometimes more consistently bitersim. I think there are some people who argue that they both came from the same kind of thing, tzedukim and bitersim, the Talmudim of Antigonus Ishsochai, who misunderstood him to say that there's no schar of Oynish and therefore that Torah Shabbat is not important. But it does seem, and I think there are some historians who actually say so, that the Tzedukim were the group within that sect. Tzedukim were the ones who were more interested in the political aspects of things. So, like we, you know, for example, we have references to the Tzedukim trying to infiltrate the Sanhedrin and things like that. Whereas the Baitosim were kind of more the ones who are interested in the religious aspects of it, like changing or modifying the actual details of how the dinim are done. Like in this case, in other words, the idea might be sort of the Tzedukim couldn't care less about the Arava because it has nothing to do with politics anyway. Whereas the Baitosim, the ones who actually, they really believe in the tenets of their sect, they're the ones who would say that, they're the ones who would be making a big deal out of you shouldn't be doing the Arava, there's no basis in the Torah for it, that sort of thing.
Which one, you say again, what it was that we were just talking about?
So the ones that the Gemara mentions here, that the Braisa mentioned, are the Baitosim.
No, what the Gemara was saying.
Oh.
They're arguing.
So it's just there had been this argument in the Gemara about what does the mitzvah of Arava basically consist of? Beating it, or putting them around the Mizbeach, as we'll have the details of how they put them around the Mizbeach in the next Mishnah tomorrow, as Jim. So we ended up saying that the mitzvah is alma b'netilahi, that the mitzvah is actually taking them and beating them because we said chibut arava. So then the question is, the Gemara asks, elam nidchu. Well then, once we say that the mitzvah actually is to take them and beat them, why shouldn't it be Docha Shabbos outside? Why shouldn't it be Docha Shabbos? Mela, if you say that it's put up the basic mitzvah is putting it around the mizbeach, okay, there's no basic mitzvah, there's no mitzvah to do that anyway, so usually there's nothing to do. The answer is kiven danan lo dechinam, since we in Golos outside Eretz Yisrael are not docha it inu namu lo dochu. Then they also in Eretz Yisrael don't have it pushed off either. For the same reason the Gemara had said yesterday, because we chutzniks have sfeika d'yoma. For us, it's not necessarily the seventh day of Sukkot anyway. It could be one of the other days. So by the same token, then even in Eretz Yisrael, we don't allow it to override Shabbos. And as the Gemara had said yesterday, actually, that we make sure the Sanhedrin always makes sure nowadays, and this is how it is. They did that even in those days. And nowadays, we also have in our fixed calendar that Hashanah and Abataka can never come out on Shabbos
because
then you wouldn't be able to do the Chibur Tarava.
Right.
Yeah, that's what we're saying over here. That
so it has nothing to do with Chutzlaret.
No, so that's what we're saying. Once we in Chutzlaret, it doesn't push it off for us either, then even in Eretz Yisrael, we don't allow it to. There's an interesting sikha, actually, where the Rebbe comments on the fact, yesterday's Gemara had said then that, Tosfos pointed out, so what's the logic? Things like the first day Rosh Hashanah, the first day Sukkot, we allow those to come out on Shabbos, and the mitzvah gets pushed off to the second day. Big deal. Where it's all of a sudden Hashanah Rabbah, where it's only a minug neviim or yisod neviim, as we're going to say soon, to do it, then we make sure it never can come out on Shabbos in the first place. And basically, the Rebbe develops the idea in the sicha that the Chibut Arava represents more than many of the other mitzvahs that we're dealing with. It represents the Yechida Shebeneshama. It represents the ultimate level of achdos of the Jewish people. That's why, for example, we'll talk about later that you only need one. You technically only, according to one opinion, only need one arava. So therefore, so it's so important that we don't even want to allow Shabbos to interfere with it. So since it's not Deucha Shabbos for us because it's Seikha Diema, then we don't allow it to be Deucha for them in Eretz Israel either. Why? You have the first day of Yom Tov, taking the lulav on Shabbos, which is the first day of Yom Tov, which for us in Chutz La'aretz is not Deucha because we said Sveika D'Yoma. We don't know Kivur D'Yacha, but in Eretz Yisrael it does. That was the Gemara's Maskana yesterday had been that in Eretz Yisrael, Taka, even Bizman She'en Beis Mikdash Kayim, they do take lulav on the first day of Sukkot when it comes out on Shabbos. So the same way as we make that distinction there, why can't we make the same distinction as far as Hashanah Rabba, as far as Chibur Tarava?
Putting aside the Neshama.
No, I'm saying, yeah. In other words, they should be able to do it in Eretz Yisrael when it comes out on Shabbos. Amri, they answered, L'dihu nami l'dochi. Actually, no. Taking Lulav is not Dercha Shabbos, even for Bnei Eretz Yisrael. The El Akasha Hanitati, so what are you going to do with the Sira between the two Mishnayas? The Tanachada Kalam Elichas and Lulvein Laharabayas. One Mishnah at the beginning of our parak said that everybody before Shabbos would bring the love into Harabayas. For Tani Idach, and then at the end of the previous parak, we have the basic Knesset. They bring it to Shul. Umetau Tzinan, and we had answered, this was in yesterday's Gemara. Kan Bizmancha Beis Mikdash Kayim, Kan Bizmancha Ein Beis Mikdash Kayim. That one is talking about when the Beis Mikdash is standing and one not. So we see that now it's Israel, yes, you do take Lulav when the first day comes out on Shabbos. You don't bring it to the because there's no Beis Mikdash anymore, but you bring it to Shul. So what are you telling me? It's not Deucha for them in Eretz Yisrael. The answer is like, I divide with Mancha Beis Mikdash Kayim. No, actually, both of them are talking about when the Beis Mikdash is standing, both Mishnayas. V'laikasha, kan b'mikdash, kan b'gvulin. Very simple. One is talking about in the Beis Mikdash. People who live in Yerushalayim would bring the Lulavim to the Beis Mikdash before Shabbos, so that they can take Lulav over there in the Beis Mikdash. People who live anywhere else in the world, or not anywhere else in the world, anywhere else in Eretz Yisrael, they can't come to the Beis Mikdash, so they bring it to their local shul before Shabbos.
He was saying because it's in the Beis Mikdash, they could do it on Shabbos.
But only when the Beis Mikdash is standing, that's the point.
Yeah,
when the Beis Mikdash is standing, and they're bringing it to the Beis Mikdash to do it on the first day,
then they can
do it anywhere else in Eretz Yisrael also, as long as they know for sure today is the first day Yom Tov. But when the Beis Mikdash is destroyed, then no. So this is different than the Gemara's conclusion of yesterday, which actually Mepharshim point out. So I mean, what is it? Make up your mind. Basically, yesterday the Gemara came to a maskana that even Bizman Shein Beis Mikdash Kayim, they take a little of the first day of Shabbos. All of a sudden, now we're challenging that. So one thing is, I think L'Aruch Laner explains exactly because again we had the discussion before of what exactly the mitzvah of Arava is, whether it consists of something that can only be done in the Beis Mikdash or something that can be done nowadays. So based on that, then, so similarly with that, the Gemara comes to different conclusions. Before, the Gemara was assuming, yesterday when the Gemara was assuming that you can take lulav outside the Beis Mikdash when there was no Beis Mikdash, but in the rest of Eretz Yisrael on Shabbos, it was assuming that the Arava is also something that can be done outside of Eretz Yisrael. Outside of the Beis Mikdash, I mean. Whereas now, the Gemara is assuming differently. Even when there's no Beis Mikdash, in other words.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're revising
what we said. And that's in fact, I mean, practically speaking, if you go nowadays to Eretz Yisrael, you won't find anybody taking lulav when the first day Sukkot comes out on Shabbos.
So there's in the past years, maybe this year.
Yeah, when Mashiach comes, then everybody everywhere where we know Kibbur D'Yarcha, we will. And since nowadays we have modern communications, everybody will know from Kibbur D'Yarcha right away. Amalei Abaye l'Rava, so Abaye asks Rava, or Rava Sabach says l'Rava, Maishna lulav da'abdina shiva zeicha l'mikdash, what's actually the difference when you think about it? Lulav, we said in the previous parak, that min ha'Torah you take lulav only one day everywhere else in the world, 7 days in the mikdash, and we said that after the Churban, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai made a takana that you take lulav everywhere in the world 7 days. So why lulav do we do it all 7 days? Zeicha l'mikdash, or Maishna ha'Rava d'lo yavdina lo shiva zeicha l'mikdash. When why by the Arava not? No one in the world does beats the Arava every day of Sukkot. We only do it on Hashanah Rabbah. In the Beis Mikdash, they put it around the Mizbeach every day. We don't know that they just chibut every day. But that's the question. Yeah. Omalei, so he answers him, Adam because after all, a person can be yotze his mitzvah of Arava using the Arava and the lulav. You have your lulav has an arava, and if the mitzvah consists of not necessarily of beating it, but just taking it and walking around with it and waving it, well, you're doing that every time you pick up the lulav. On the other day, you have two aravas in there. It's on Hashanah Rabbah. We're saying you do the separate thing that you go and bang it. But at least you do have some form of the mitzvah of arava the other 6 days as well, he's saying. Amalei, so Abaye tells him, how does that help? That's not, you're not doing the mitzvah of arava, then you're doing the mitzvah of lulav. The lulav happens to have that it includes aravas with it. So you're going to say what? That you're telling the person you're going to pick up your lulav one time to be yotze of the mitzvah of lulav, then you're going to put it down, later you're going to pick it up again in order to be yotze of the mitzvah of arava. But we see all the time, nobody does that. Nobody makes a point of picking up the lulav again to have in mind that they're doing the mitzvah of arava.
No, as they're saying, the line of saying that the arava and the lulav is one mitzvah, I mean, they're doing it at the same time.
But that, what do you mean two at the same time? What's the logic? You can't do two mitzvahs at the same time. You can't, you know, it's mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. You don't do mitzvahs in bundles. Each one has its own importance. Yes, if you're telling me that you want to use the aravas in the lulav to be yotze the fact that you should have a zeichel mikdash for arava, then you should have to pick up the lulav again in order to do that. But we see we don't make a point of that. When we go around on mitzvah lulav, we give the guy the lulav to shake, and then that's it. We don't make him take it again. The answer is Amar Zvid, Mishmei Derava. The difference is like this: Lulav Deoraisa, Avdin and Shiva Zeichel Mikdash. Because the lulav, after all, the mitzvah of lulav is Deoraisa. So yes, Deoraisa, you only have to take it one day outside the Beis Hamikdash. But still, Avdin and Shiva Zeichel Mikdash. So we do it all 7 days as a Zeichel Mikdash. Arava Derabanan, whereas the Arava is. The arava is only dirabanan. Whatever we're doing with the arava, we'll see in a second. Is it really dirabanan? It's not so simple. But right now, that's the assumption that we're making. Is it means that it's dirabanan, and therefore loyabdinan shiva zeichel mikdash. So since it's only dirabanan anyway, there's no reason to make it all 7 days. The fact that you do it one time, that's enough.
It's like a rabbinic,
one second. Yeah. That's what we're going to get to. That's what the Gemara is going to get to now. Laman, who are you saying according to that you're telling me, who are you going according to that you're telling me that the whole concept of doing the arava is only dirabanan? Are you telling me according to Abishol? Ha'omar, no. Abishol says, Arve Nachal Ksiv. We had this a week and a half ago. That when the pasuk says, Arve Nachal, in the plural, means Shtayim. It means there's two different mitzvahs of Arava. Achas Lulav, Achas L'Mikdash. That one is to go together with the Lulav, and the other is that you're doing the Beis Mikdash. So according to him, the other type of Arve we said is that it meant we had two other possibilities. Either that it also means you can use any kind of Arava, even if it doesn't grow by a stream, even if it, let's say, grows in the mountains or whatever. And also, we used it for the idea that you take two of them. But according to Abishol, then the taking of the arava on Hashanah and Abba is outright Daraisa, just as much as taking the lulav. Because he's saying from Arve Nachal, from the very word Arve, it means two kinds of aravas. Ila Rabbanan, and if you're going to say according to the Rabbanan, Hilchas Gemiri La. The Rabbanan say it's still not a Rabbanan; it's a halacha l'moshe v'sinai. Again, we had this also a while back. These three dinim, esenetiers, the one that we discussed about plowing a field that has 10 trees in it during the few months before Shemitah in order to loosen up the dirt. That there's Allah HaMashem Yisina, that you're allowed to do that all the way up to the beginning of Shemitah. That's esenetiers. Arava, the fact that you have to take the arava and eshan and abba, v'nitzachamayim, and they have to pour water on the Mizeach during Sukkot. All those things are Allah HaMashem Yisina. So it's not dirabanan. It's halacha l'moshe v'sinai. Okay, it's not one of it can't be counted as one of the 613 mitzvahs because in general we don't count halacha l'moshe v'sinai as one of those. But it still comes from the same source. You know, it's still a mitzvah directly from the Eibishter, not from the Rabbanan.
So we're assuming that it's halacha l'moshe v'sinai because it's bundled with other things.
Because we specifically are saying that all three of them are halacha l'moshe v'sinai.
Right.
That's what we're specifically saying, that Esen Atiyas, Arava, and Nisuch HaMayim, all of them are halacha l'moshe v'sinai. Alam Rav Zvid Shmei the Rava. So no, Rav Zvid says in the name of Rava. No, we have to correct a little bit what we said. Not that Rava is the Rabbanan, but rather lulav the Isla Iker Minatorah, the lulav that has a basis in the in Torah Shabbosav, Bigvulin outside the Beis Hamikdash, Abdinale Shiva Zeichel Hamikdash. Then we do it 7 days as a Zeichel Hamikdash. Arava de lasla ikim in a Torah, whereas the Arava that does not have an explicit basis in the Torah, begvulin, outside the Mishmikdash, loyabdin and shiva zeichel mikdash, so we don't do it for 7 days zeichel mikdash. Where this word begvulin in these two sentences belongs, by the way, is that there seems to be a difference between Rashi and Rambam where you put it. Is it that we're saying that the lulav and the arava are both minatora? One's a regular minatora and the other one's halacha moshe Sinai. But one has a basis bigvulin. One the Torah says that it takes place bigvulin as well, meaning everywhere in the world, because the Torah starts out lakachtam lachem bayam rishin priyat tadra kapis tamarim etc. And only afterwards usmachtam lifnei Hashem lekechem shivat yamim. So only lifnei Hashem lekechem do you have to have full 7 days, whereas everywhere else in the world you have bayam rishin. Whereas Arava, the halacha Moshe Mitzinei, Arava doesn't say anything about Begvulin. So we can parse the sentence that way, that Lulav has an Iker min HaTorah Begvulin, that Lulav, the Torah itself says that the Lulav has to be taken on 1 day Begvulin. And therefore, once we... Begvulin means everywhere else in the world. It means everywhere outside... It means everywhere outside the Beis Hamikdash, or according to the Rambam, everywhere outside Yerushalayim. So once the Torah already says that there is a concept of taking lulav v'gvulin, then fine, you extend it to 7 days from Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai Sakana. Whereas the Arava, the halacha l'moshe Mitzinei never said anything about gvulin. The halacha l'moshe Mitzinei, it would seem, is only talking about doing the Beis Mikdash. So therefore, the Chachamim had no reason to extend it everywhere else. That's one way of parsing the sentence, and that's how Rashi seems to learn it, whereas the Rambam seems to learn it a little different. Lulav de Isla Ikim in a Torah, the lulav which actually has an explicit statement in the Torah, that there is a mitzvah of lulav, then begvulin avdin ala shiva zeichel mikdash. So in the gvulin, everywhere else outside the mikdash, we do it for 7 days. Since we're basing ourselves on something that's already in a pasuk anyway.
For
Rashi, in other words, according to Rashi, the main point is the fact that the Torah says that lulav has to be done on 1 day everywhere in the world. For the Rambam, that's not the relevant point. The relevant point is that the Torah mentions the Torah Shabbosav. There is a pasuk mentioning the mitzvah of lulav. There is no explicit pasuk, according to the Chachamim anyway, that says that there's a mitzvah of arava. So given that, then the Chachamim didn't feel that it needs to be extended bigvulin loyavdin alei shiva zeichel mikdash. So therefore they didn't feel the need to extend it in the gvulim to 7 days, when after all the Torah Shabbosav doesn't even talk about it for 1 day. We only know it from Halacha Moshe Mitzinei. It's just two different ways of parsing the sentence.
You're right. So how much is
the 7 days? That's what we're saying. So according to Rashi's way of looking at it, once the Torah establishes that everywhere in the world you have to do it for one day, only in the Beis Mikdash, are you doing it for seven? Fine, no Beis Mikdash, Zeichel Mikdash, we do it for 7 days. The Arava, which in any case, there's nothing in the Halacha Moshe Mitzinei that says anything about Gvulin at all. So yes, we do want to make a Zeichel Mikdash, so we do it 1 day. There's no reason to extend it for all 7 days. That's what we just said, is according to the Rabbanon, that this is one of a group of three Halachos Moshe Mitzinei, yeah.
There's a lot more
There are many halachos of Moshe Mitzinei. Right, these are just... Right, Rashi had said, when we had this on Daf Lama Dalad, Rashi said that what it was is somebody came to the Beis Medrash and asked about all these three dinim, and they told him, and you know, what's the source for them, and the answer was they're all halachos of Moshe Mitzinei. So therefore we group them together.
We're talking about halachos of Moshe Mitzinei regarding the Arava.
That's part of what we need to get to. Is are we talking about the mitzvah of putting it around the mizbeach, or are we talking about the mitzvah of waving it and beating it? We had the machlokes before. We know that the mitzvah of doing it. We know that there is a mitzvah of chibur tarava,
right.
But we don't know when we say that it's halacha moshe mitzinei. Which part is that? Right.
That will change the whole discussion.
There's also in that same sikha that I was referring to before that ever talks about the idea that also because of the of the importance because of the importance of the mitzvah of chibur tarava, of this minhag of chibur tarava, the fact that it represented, the fact that it's the ultimate representation of achdus and of kabbalah sol. That's the reason why that, and also nisach hamayim, which also represents kabbalah sol, why they couldn't even be in teresh b'chsav, why they have to be something like more airy, which is halacha mashmisina, which doesn't even have, it can't even be brought down into the letters of teresh b'chsav, like.
And the non-Jews don't have any
inkling of it. That's also true, right?
Yeah. What's the meaning of the chibud itself?
So the chibud itself is the idea that the aravos represent gvuris. That's why the Arizal says we should take the Gemara. We'll talk about on Amud Beis how many aravos you're supposed to use. The Gemara talks about over there. Do you need three? Do you need one? The Arizal says you take five because it represents the hay gvuris. And then you'd have to beat them on the ground in order to sweeten the hay gvuris. That's why the hirotin that we say afterwards that's in the Siddur mentions this idea that the memateka is hay gvuris. But the Rebbe also focuses on the idea in the Sicha. You know, we always talk about the four dalad minim, the four different types of Jews that they represent. And you know, we usually say the Arava is the one without Torah and without mitzvahs, but the Rebbe explains based on a Maimer or Sicha from the Friedrich Rebbe that no, we're not talking about people who you know, we're not talking about, for example, the Esrog is not somebody who only fatips in Torah and doesn't do mitzvahs. That's not a good thing. And vice versa. Each of them is doing Torah and mitzvahs. It's more, what are they focusing on? And in the case of the Arava, he's learning Torah, he's doing mitzvahs, but his main thing is he's doing it mitzad tmimus, mitzad kabbalas ol. Not necessarily because he understands it, not necessarily because he has a tainug in it, just plain simple kabbalas ol, because he's a yid. So therefore, most appropriately then is the arava has a day all to itself when we put it around the side of the mizbeach, and yeah.
That's why we're hiding
it. I don't think that ever mentions that in the Sikha, but I suppose it's a possibility. There's also the idea that Eva mentions that out of the four minim, you know, we also talk about the idea that all the dalad minim represent achdus, each in their own way. The esrog stays on the tree throughout all the seasons. The lulav, all the leaves are bunched together, etc. The arava represents achdus in that many different aravas grow together. They're called in a few places in the Gemara achvana, miloshen achva. So there you have, more than any of the other minim, it's not just an achdus within the thing itself, it's an achdus between the many different arabas that are growing out there. Omer Shlokish, Koinim balim mumim nechnasin bein ha'olam v'lam izbeach chidei lotus ba'arabah. The koinim who are balim mumim, who normally are not allowed to go into the area between the mizbeach and the ulam, the front of the heichal. Now, in this case, though, we were saying that they have to take the arabas and they have to march around the mizbeach and then they put them up all around the mizbeach. So what we're saying is the kohenim who are balim mumim, even though normally they're not allowed to go into that area, we allow them to in this case in order to be yotze this mitzvah of arava. There's actually
they cannot go there.
Normally, they cannot go there
between the mizbeach.
Between the mizbeach and the ulam, normally. Normally they would be also to go in there, the Mishneh and Kalim. It's actually a machlokus between the Rambam and the Ravid, whether that is Minat Torah they're not allowed to go there, or is it only Midrabanan. According to the Ravid, they're not allowed to do any Avodah, because they're Bali Mum, but they can be there. Whereas according to the Rambam, just going in there itself is an Issur Lav, and maybe even is an Issur Lav. I don't remember if according to the Rambam it's an Issur Karis. But we're saying over here that for this we make an exception. Amalei Rabbi Yechanan. So Rabbi Yechanan says, "Mi Amra? Who said such a thing? In other words, who said that taking the arava is even such a chiyuv that we should allow the kohenim who normally are off limits over there to be able to enter?" What do you mean, Rabbi Yechanan is the middle one in that chain over there, Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Yechanan, and Rabbi Nechunia, that Esenetiyas Arava V'Nitzach HaMayim Halacha L'Mashmi Sinai. That Arava is Halacha L'Mashmi Sinai. So what is Rabbi Yechanan asking? Who said that it's so important that we're going to allow the Baalim Mumim to go? What do you mean, who said? You just said it's Halacha L'Mashmi Sinai. Ella, what he means is, Mi Amra B'Nitzila. Who says that the actual mitzvah consists of that every person has to take an arava and walk around the mizbeach? Duma b'skifa. Maybe the mitzvah is just to place them around the mizbeach. Meaning, therefore, in that if we said that it's minatila, would mean that it's a mitzvah on every individual person. The same way as like every individual person has to take their own lulav and asterisk. You can't say you did lulav and asterisk, therefore you were moitzi me by that. Every person has to do it on their own. The same thing when it comes to chibot arava, everybody does their own. The same thing, you're assuming that the mitzvah of arava is that every person has to walk around the mizbeach holding arava. Says who? Maybe the mitzvah is one or some of the kohenim have to go around there and put the arava all around. So in that case, it's a mitzvah on the klal. It's not a mitzvah on every individual. So you, kohen, bal mum, you don't have to do it. Leave it to somebody else. And mi amar rav bal mumim, do mitzvah mumim. And who says, therefore, that it has to be dafka bal mumim who are doing it? Maybe just make sure that it's only kohenim or tmimim who are allowed to go into that area who do it. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan means by asking, says who? Says who? That your understanding of what the mitzvah is correct, that it's a mitzvah on the individual rather than on the klal, and therefore that every person, even the Bali Momo, has to do it. The Gemara says Itmar, they said that there's actually a machloikus. Where does the mitzvah of Arava, where does it come from? Or is it a mitzvah b'chlal? Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shoban Levi, Chad Amar, one of them says Arava Yisoid Nevi'im. One of them says that the Arava is something that was established by the Nevi'im. It was an actual takana. It was an official takana of the Nevi'im, meaning of the last Nevi'im, Chagas, Chavi, and Malachi, who are members of the Anshe Knesset Gdola. So it's an actual takana on a par with all the other takanas that the Anshe Knesset Gdola, or that the Chachamim made throughout the generations, that you have to do something with the Arava. What the Gemara will get back to that in a minute. The Chad Amar and the other one says Arava Minhag Nevi'im. That the Arava is not even that; it's a Minhag that the Nevi'im started. So it's not an official. It's not an official takana. It's a Minhag that they established. What would be the Nafkamina? So Rashi says the difference is you say bracha on it or not. If it's a Yisoid Nevi'im, then you say bracha on it. It's the same way as we say bracha on reading the Megillah, for example, which is also Yisoid Nevi'im. Whereas if you say that's a Minhag Nevi'im, then you don't. And that's what the Gemara is going to ask. Yeah, one second. So first of all, we have to establish which one said what. We have Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shoban Levi. Each one has a different opinion. We didn't say specifically which one says what. Can we prove from somewhere else which one said what? Which one said it's a Yisoid and which one said it's a Minhag? So the Gemara says Tistayim. We can conclude that Rabbi Yochanan who do Ami Yisoid Nevi'im. That Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that it's a Yisoid, that it's an actual established official takana of the Nevi'im. Da'amar Rav Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Arava Yisoid Nevi'im. Well, because we find Rav Abba says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Arava is a Yisoid of the Nevi'im. Look, Tistayim, that proves it. Now, then, of course, comes the obvious question, which both of you were asking. Amar Rav Zeir Rav Abba, Mi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi? Did Rabbi Yochanan really say that? That it's only a Yisoid of the Nevi'im? What about the halacha of Mishmi Sinai? Ba'amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Nem Nechoni Ish Bikas Beis Chorsen Etzer Natiyas Arava V'nitzach Amayim Halacha of Mishmi Sinai. So what kind of Yisoid Nevi'im 1,000 years after the Torah was given? Eshtoimam Kesha Chada. Rav Abahu was stunned for a little while. That's actually a quotation from a pasuk in Daniel, but the Gemara uses it in a few places like to mean like he was totally baffled for a little while how to answer. But Omar, and then he said, you know what it means? Shachum v'chazru v'yistum. They forgot the original. It was a halacha on Mishmi Sinai, but then they forgot it, and so the Nevi'im reestablished it. Because it took him a while to think of that answer, I guess. It seems like an eyes in a kasha. What do you mean? Is it a halacha on Mishmi Sinai? Yeah. And we'll have in the, over the next few months. The Gemara uses that in some other places also. One of them is about, actually we had in Shabbos also, about Mansapach. The form you use at the beginning of in the middle of a word and which one you use at the end. The Gemara also says and I think the Gemara also uses the shtem of shachada over there also. Yeah,
the fact that they forgot the word
Megillah. No, but that's what we're saying. They reestablished that it is actually the same way as we said a few days before about Rabbi Yochanan Zakeh's takana about Chodesh, that according to Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak's understanding, it wasn't really a new takana. He was explaining to the people, you know what, for the last 420 years, you haven't had to do this way because there's been a Beis Mikdash. Now you have to know, we have to go back to the situation that the Torah itself says you should do when there's no Beis Mikdash. Same thing over here. Then the Nevi'im are telling the people, we're telling you to take the Arava. Don't think it's something new that we're coming up with. It's a halacha Moshe Messina that's been forgotten. Yeah, that's the answer. which then actually Mefarshim have a bit of a time with the question. You know, when we say that they restored it, we have a general rule that that we can't ask a Navi for the halacha. So what does it mean? Because the Gemara talks about one of the major places the Gemara talks about this concept is the Gemara in Tmura. The Mishnah describes over there, we've talked about back in Yuma, we had a lot of discussion about chatois hamesis, various cases where an animal for a chatos has to be left to die because something happened, vlad chatos, tmuras chatos, all the different cases over there. The Gemara discusses the possibility, these various halachas of chatois hamesis are halachas mesh mesinai. Many of the details were forgotten during the period of mourning, during the 30 days that were mourning after Moshe passed away. Then the Gemara says that Osni Yehonatan was able to reconstruct them with his pilpul. But the Gemara says over there that in that case they asked Yeshua, they asked in later times, they asked Shmuel, they asked from the Eveshter, let's get the bottom line. What are we relying on Osni Yehonatan has his pilpul? And maybe he made a mistake. And they all answered, no, Torah Levishamayim, he, Eilah HaMitzvahs, that a Navi can't come up with new things. Yeah, it applies to Halacha Mishmi Sinai too. So what do we mean over here that Nevi'im reestablished it? So some Mefarshim just say it doesn't mean in their capacity as Nevi'im. Each of these people, Chagas, Chariyad, Malachi, wore many hats. They had the Navi hat, and then they're also the experts on halacha. They're the members of the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. They're members of the Sanhedrin. In that capacity, yes, they can restore halachos that have been forgotten based on their analysis, or even yes, yeah.
Well, and what would they say? They would say this is the halacha, and they're not saying it the sort of rule. They're saying it
as a statement of halacha, right? Exactly. If you say, on the other hand, that means that they did it using the power of Nevuah, then yeah, it does become a real question how that works, since we usually say Torah Levish Maimi.
How did people forget all these things? What did they forget exactly?
We have this about Adrava. They forgot about Mansapach. And I forget, there's that thing about Chatoris HaMesis. So the Chatoris HaMesis thing is it's not a very common incident. Yeah. The Mansapach, actually, according to the opinion, and there is, well, we've talked about this briefly before, but this isn't really the place for it, but during the times when they use Ksav Ivri instead of Ksav Ashuris, there's no difference in Ksav Ivri between middle and final form, so yeah, they may well have forgotten.
What about the Arava?
And the Arava, during the 70 years of Golos Bavel, they might have forgotten about it. So, which actually now comes the question, did Rabbi Yochanan really say such a thing that in Golos Bavel they forgot some of the mitzvahs? But Rabbi Yochanan said, Dilchoin Amri, I used to think that, Rabbi Yochanan is speaking like to the people of Eretz Yisrael, I used to think that you guys, you Bnei Eretz Yisrael, you have the Torah. You have the Torah to perfection because you never went into Golos, and therefore, and then you guys who stayed here throughout all this time, you have a much better understanding of Torah than Bnei Bavel. Dilchoin Amri, I thought that it's yours, and it turns out, Dilchoini, it turns out that actually it belongs to the Bnei Bavel. The Bnei Bavel know things in Torah much better than we Bnei Eretz Yisrael. Rashi says that this is the famous story in Bava Kamma about Rav Kahana killing a Moiser and then having to escape to Eretz Yisrael and becoming a member of Rabbi Yochanan's yeshiva. The whole long story over there, where at first he was trying to hide. His abilities, and eventually Rabbi Yochanan ferreted out who he really is. And then Rabbi Yochanan said, such a tremendous Talmud Chacham that came from Bavel, Rav Kahana, among us. I see now that they in Bavel know a lot more about the Torah than we in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, on the contrary, Rabbi Yochanan is saying they didn't forget the Torah in Bavel. On the contrary, they remembered it better than Bnei Eretz Yisrael. Tosfos has a completely different explanation, actually based on Rabbeinu says quotes from Rabbeinu Chananel, that Rabbi Yochanan himself had a lot of Talmudim from Bavel. In those times, because heavy Golah L'makom Torah, it was very common, Tosfos points out, we find in a few places in the Gemara, it was very common for Bnei Bavel to go to Eretz Yisrael to learn, and vice versa, Bnei Eretz Yisrael would go to Yeshivas in Bavel to learn. So many of Rabbi Yochanan, maybe even most of Rabbi Yochanan Talmudim themselves were Bnei Bavel. So he says to them, Dilchoin Amri. I thought that the minhag of Arava is something that it's something that came from Bavel. And it turns out it comes from Bavel. So again, what do you mean shachum v'chazur v'yistum? The answer is like Asha. Kan b'mikdash, kan b'gvulin. There's two different, again, there's two different things, there's two different places where we do the mitzvah of Arava. One is in the Beis Hamikdash, where they stand it up around the, where they march around the Mizbeach, and then they stand it up around the sides of the Mizbeach. And the other one is what we do, the Gvulin, where we wave it and then beat it. One of those, the one that's in the Mikdash is Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. The one that's done Gvulin is a Yisrael, or a Minhag of Nevi'im. So in other words, from Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, you have the concept that that you have to take a rabbis every day, go around the mizbeach, and then you put them up by the sides of the mizbeach. That's halacha mishmin. See, now it comes out according to the maskana. You don't have to say that was ever forgotten. That's what we're saying. That's what the gemara's maskana is. Later on,
this is
how we're explaining what Rabbi Yochanan said. Yeah. So that part is halacha mishmin. See, and we don't have to say that was ever forgotten. We don't have to use Rabbi Bo's answer before that shachum v'chazur v'yistum. We can say that part was always remembered. Then the Nevi'im came up with a new thing. The Nevi'im Chagas Chayim Alacha came up with a new thing. Either yisoid or a minug, that you should also do it b'gvulin. That you should do something with the arava in the gvulin. You don't remember mizbeach there, obviously. So therefore, it means taking it and beating it. And then, based on what we're saying in the end, that the arava is minhag nevi'im, then there's a big long tosis over here that discusses all the pros and cons, and then there's many rishonim and achronim discuss on top of that the whole question: when do you make a bracha on a minhag? When not? We see you don't make a bracha on beating the arava because we're saying in the end it's minhag nevi'im. On the other hand, for example, there's different opinions about whether you say bracha on the minhag of saying halal on Rosh Chodesh, and there's different minhagim. If you look for, we were talking about last week that in the Siddur, in the Alter Rebbe Siddur, it says that when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, preferably you shouldn't make your own bracha, you should listen to the Chazan and the Yotzer with his. But of course, if you say that you don't make a bracha on a minhag, even the Chazan shouldn't be saying a bracha on it. This was actually today's Gimel Parakim of Rambam discussed this issue. You have various other things. You have we keep a second day Yom Tov. That's minhag avetein biyadenu, and we make brachas on it. So there is a great deal of discussion about the pros and cons of when we say that you make a bracha on a minhag, when not. Another interesting example, actually. What? So one way of slicing it is basically whether the Chachamim are telling us to do something, this is what Tosfos says, whether the Chachamim are telling us to do something which in and of itself is a mitzvah. For example, saying halal, even on Rosh Chodesh, even if you don't have a mitzvah per se to say halal, it's not a yom tov or anything. But on the other hand, I mean, you're reading Pesukim from the Torah. If nothing else, you have that mitzvah of saying Pesukim from the Torah. So therefore, it deserves a bracha. Whereas beating the Arava is not necessarily an action which in and of itself is a mitzvah. And therefore, it doesn't get a bracha.
Rabbi, when you say minhag on the Yadenu, they're able to push off all the other things, putting a tefillin on there, effectively at Yom Tov.
That's Shev Bal Tafsa, though. The same way as the Rabbanan can tell us not to take lulav the first day of Sukkot, because Shev Bal Tafsa. That's the same way they can tell us not to put on tefillin. In the case of actually the second day of Yom Tov, that Rambam points out, the reason why we make a bracha on all the things we do then, even though it's minhag, is because we don't want people to be mezalzel in it. So that's a different case. If we didn't make brachas on kiddush and so forth, then people would think that's not important. Gemara says, Amar Abami, Arava Tzricha Shir, the Arava has a certain shir, we'll talk about soon how much the shir is, and the Einan tell us Ela B'fnei Atzma, you can only take it by itself, you're not supposed to bind anything else with it. And the Einan Adam Yotze Dechavasa, Arava Shav Lulav, and a person can offer Yotze, the mitzvah, using the Arava and the Lulav. So not like we were trying to say in Amar Aleph that every day a person picks up his Lulav, he might also be fulfilling the mitzvah of Arava with it. No, Rabami is saying that Arava has to be a thing of its own. The Gemara says, asked, wait a minute, given to Omar Mara, and no, we have two. Gemara asked, what do you mean? Given to Omar Mara, and you tell us celibus and asthma, if you're telling me that you have to take the Arava only by itself, you're not allowed to have anything else with it, well, pshit today, not a yetzid, by Arava Shabalulam, then of course you can't be yetzid with the one in the law, you got three other minims mixed in there. So what do you need to mention both of those things? The answer is, you might think, what do we mean that you have to have the Arava by itself? Precisely, if, like we said on Amud Aleph, you only pick up the Dalav Minim once, then we're saying you can't be doing both mitzvahs in that one picking up. You can, because I know it's in mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. Avol agbehe ba'adu agbehe, but you might think if you picked it up one time as having in mind the mitzvah of lulav, and then you picked it up again having in mind the mitzvah of harava, maybe you would be yotze. Emaloi, so you would think maybe not, maybe that wouldn't be a problem. Kamashmalan, that's why he's telling us no matter what, you always, when you're taking the harava, it has to be with nothing else. So even if you're picking, no matter how many times you pick up the lulav, you're not yotze the mitzvah of harava with that.
On the
seventh day, because that's the only day we're doing it. So you can do them separately. We said that the halacha, there was actually a machlokas rishonim on that, but the halacha is that you can actually pick up each one of them individually.
You cannot take your lulav on one hand and the arvus on one hand and the other hand and have one.
No, so there is actually the Mefarshim do discuss the issue. We're saying that you can't use the Aravis as long as they're bound together with the other minim, but can you pull the Aravis out of your lulav and use them for the mitzvah of Arava on Hashanah Rabbah? That there's different opinions on. That we don't have from our Gemara over here, so that, you know, it depends how you look at it. But there is actually, we're going to have in a minute, according to one opinion, you need three Aravis for the mitzvah of Arava, and one way of looking at it is that is precisely why we're saying you need three in order to demonstrate that it's not the same as the Aravas of the lulav. Yeah. Right, according to that way of looking at it, yeah. And there's a whole question, are you allowed to add Aravas anyway? Tosfos had discussed it in the previous parak. We know there's actually a machlokas showing him whether you're allowed to add anything to the fixed amount. So you know, it's a given you can only have one Efsrig and one Lulav, but can you add a Hadassim and can you add Aravis? You have different opinions. Some say that you can't. So that, no, can you add more Hadassim or more Aravis? So we talked about this. There's some Rishonim who say you can't add anything. You must have two Hadassim, two Aravis, and you must have three Hadassim, no more, no less. Others say you can add Aravis, you can add Hadassim, but not Aravis. Rambam writes that way, for example, and that's how we do. And then you have others, I think Tosfos talked about the possibility that maybe you can add both Hadassim in Aravis. So if that's the case, then yeah, you could have enough Hadassim in your Lulav, theoretically. I think it was Tosfos, I don't remember. Theoretically, you could have enough Aravis in there, according to that you'd be able to pull a few out and use for the mitzvah of Arava. So that was one opinion. But Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Yitzchok, whereas Rav Chisda says in the name of Yitzchok, no, Adam Yotze Yedechevas of Arava Shabalov. No, a person can be Yotze, his mitzvah of Arava, with the Arava in the Lulav. On the first day of Sukkot, says on the side over here that Maharam takes out those words. But Kama Shiura, we said before that the Arava for the mitzvah of Arava needs a shiur. What is that shiur? Amar of Nachman, it doesn't mean a shiur in length. It wasn't like with the Aravas in the lulav where you have to have at least three tefachim long. Here we're talking about a shiur of a certain number of them that you have to have. Amar of Nachman, Gimel Bade Olin Lachen. You need three branches with fresh leaves on them. And again, one reason for that is that way it demonstrates that it's different than the one in the lulav. Rav Sheshes Amar, Afilo Ola Echad or Vad Echad. Rav Sheshes says, no, you can even have one leaf and one twig. We take that's based on Kabbalah, yeah. But the Rambam writes, you take a couple of them. I don't think the Rambam specifies the number. And you beat them a couple of times on the ground. So I'm in it because we have five branches and we beat them five times. I don't remember the exact. I think the Rambam says you can take two or three. And you beat them a couple of times on the ground. There's different minhagim about that as well. There are people who have the minhag that you keep on beating them until as many as possible the leaves have fallen off. We don't. We just beat them five times, and that's that. We throw them on top of the Aron Kodesh. Yeah. So Rav Sheshes is saying even you can have one leaf and one branch. What do you mean? Ola ech uvad echad sakud aitach? You mean one leaf and one branch separate? You're going to hold a branch with nothing on it and a separate leaf, and the leaf itself is not even going to be noticeable. Ella, ema afilu ola echad bivad echad. No, what he means to say is you can even have one leaf on one branch, even if in other words you have a branch where all the other leaves have fallen off and all you have is one left, you can still use that.
One branch or two branches?
Yeah, so you can have even one, that's what we're saying, you can have even just one branch and it only has one leaf on it. However, Rashi says, nowadays the minhag is that you take, you know, nice, long, beautiful branches, so you're doing the mitzvah b'ayin yafa. And this is also in that sikha that I was referring to before that ever points out this, that we're saying that the mitzvah of Arava can technically be Ola Echad. The Vad Echad also represents this idea of Achdus. So you have one branch with one leaf on it. The Gemara tells, Omar Ivu, Ivu said, Ivu is the father of Rav. So, we had him at the beginning of Sachim, for example, yeah. So he says, have a ka'imna kamedir of Elazar of Tzadik. I was one time standing in front of Rabbi Elazar of Tzadik, who was one of the later Tanayim. But I see Ahu Gabra Arava Kameh. Somebody brought him an Arava on Hashan Arava. Shafil, so Rabbi Elazar of Tzadik took it. Chavit v'loy barich. He did a chavit and did not make a bracha. Rashi says chavit means he waved it. So Rashi does not seem to say that it means that the mitzvah involves beating it. Rashi seems to be saying that the mitzvah just involves waving it. So he waved it a couple of times, and did not make... What? That's what we were saying before. Because it's only a minute in Nevi'im, that's what I was going to say now. But he holds, and this is Taka the Halakha, it's only a minute in Nevi'im, and you don't say a bracha on a minute.
Today we don't say a bracha.
We don't say a bracha, period, when we take the Arava. We say the Yehirot afterwards. So Rashi holds that it doesn't involve beating it, it just involves waving it. The Rambam writes that it involves beating. You beat it, he says, two or three times on the ground or on a keli. Two or three times, he gets it, because we see up here, chavit, he beat it twice. So it has to be at least twice. And again, on minhag, we beat it five times. Chasava minhag nevim, because Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik held that it's a minhag of the nevim, and you don't say a bracha on a minhag. Oh, going back a second, to what we were saying about the machlokas, about whether you can use the aravas from the lulav for the mitzvah of Arava, actually, part of the reason that we're careful not to, besides as a practical matter, you have this machloikas, whether you're able to, is also because Api Kabbalah, the Aravis and the Lulav represent Chesin. The Aravis from that we're going to beat represent Gvuras. So don't confuse the two. Yeah. The four minim collectively represent chesed, because they all need a lot of water to grow, and water is chesed. Whereas the aravos that we beat represent gvuras. In that sicha that Rebbe also talks about, I mean, you know, so why do we need gvuras and then we need to sweeten them? Why don't we start like a chila with chasadim? Why are we b'chlal bringing in a thing of gvuras and then saying we have to beat it? And the answer is because gvura has the advantage of that it's much more intense. So sort of like Otis to tell you about Kalim to Tikkun, kind of. You want that intensity of gvura, because that intensity is a good thing. But you need to sweeten it. You need to temper it so that it so it does work. So it's constructive rather than destructive.
The only mitzvah, the Arba Minim, the only mean that you do both. So you do chesed in the gvura,
yeah.
And
then you do gvura
in
right.
The chibur.
Yeah. Another case, Ivo B'chizkiya B'nei Bratid Rav, later on, in a later time, Ivo and Chizkiya, who were the grandchildren of Rav, also Aisu Arava Kameh Rav, they brought their grandfather Rav and Arava, Chavit Leibarich, again, he waved it or beat it, and did not say Bracha, also because Kasava Minang Nevim, who he also helped with Minang Nevim. Since we're mentioning Ivo and Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, the Gemara tells another story involving the two of them. I was standing in front of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, also a Kameyahu Gabra, and a certain person came to ask him a Shaila. Amale, the guy says, Kriyasa Isli, I have villages that I own. In those times, you could actually own a whole village, and, you know, everybody in it are your taxpayers. Karmaya Isli, I have vineyards. Zesaya Isli, and I have olive trees, and a rich guy. But also b'nei kriyasa. Now it happens during Shemitah that the people from these villages, they come, they do kishkush in the vineyards. Kishkush, Rashi says, means hoeing, like to dig up the dirt, to soften it, so the plants will grow better. This is during Shemitah. So they're coming, and they're doing this kishkush, they're doing this hoeing in the vineyards. But oichlin b'zeisaya, and then they're eating, from the olive trees. So they feel basically they feel that, you know, they're doing some work for me, and in return they're entitled to take some olive seeds. The problem is this is during Shemitah. By rights, everything is supposed to be hefker for the aniyim. You're not supposed to be working the land, and they're not supposed to have any more rights to the olives than anyone else. Arich or loy arich, is this proper or is it not proper? Arich, Rashi says, is an Aramaic word meaning proper. Amalei loy arich. So Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik tells him it's not proper. Yeah. Because of Shemitah specifically, Rashi says the issue is, it's not so much the kishkush itself, the fact that they're doing the hoeing itself is not the issue. The Gemara is going to establish soon, in a few lines, one second, that the kishkush, there's two different activities that both bear the same name of kishkush. One is allowed during Shemitah because it's needed for the plants to survive, and the other one is not allowed. So the kind that they were asking about is the okay kind. That wasn't the issue. The issue is, if they're doing this work, which is allowed during Shemitah, but then you're effectively paying them by allowing them to eat the olives, means you're paying them out of Shemitah food. You can't do that, like we had the other day. You can't sell Shemitah food. Yeah. La'achlav lo'en l'scharta. So that's the issue. Havak ha'shavak le'va'oz. Also, the man left, and he was going away. Omar and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadik says, you should know something. Kedu habisi dairi ba'ara hadon memshnin. I've been living in this land, in this area, for 40 years. V'loi chamisi bar inish mahalach ma'orchan takman kedain. I've never seen a person who goes in such a straight path as this person. That he comes and asks about something which is maybe not even technically an iser, but he's coming, the kishkosh, the eating, etc. Maybe it's because after all, he's not specifically going and telling them, you know what, in reward for you doing the kishkosh, you're allowed to eat my olives. They're assuming on their own. He's not really paying them off with Shemitah food. Technically, there's not an issue with it. That's why he's not asking osir or mutter. He's asking arich or loy arich. And Rabbi Elazar, but the fact, proper or not proper. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadik is telling him it's not proper. Not that it's outright osir. But right, the fact that the man thought to even ask such a thing in the first place, and the fact that as soon as he hears the psak, he right away goes to do something about it. That's why that he left right away. One thing the Aruch Laner points out, when Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadik is pointing this out, he wanted to tell Ivu, don't think this guy left because, you know, he's upset. You know, I told him something he didn't like to hear, so he just threw him out. No, he's going out because he's hurrying to get the situation fixed up. As a mensch, a guy like that has integrity.
So he even was noticing they were doing it on their own.
Yes. Hadar v'asi, then the guy came back, v'amalei, and he says to Rabbi Elazar Tzadik, okay, my mevet, so what actually should I do to fix up the situation? Because after all, I mean, the kishkush does need to be done, and, you know, it's not right, I'm not going to make them do it for free. Amalei, so he tells him like this, after zesaya l'chasechaya, make the olive trees hefker for the poor people, which you have to do to Schmidt anyway. What? Chashuchaya? Okay. I thought it was Chashuchaya, Meloshin Choseich, like the people who don't have anything. Okay, Chashuchaya, the ones who the world is dark for them because they're poor. Either way, okay, it amounts to the same thing. The 10 pritaya of Kashkushi Kromim, and instead of paying them in olives, give them a pruta, give them money out of your own pocket that they should do this kishkush. Gemara asks, "Kishkushi mishar? You're telling me you're allowed to do kishkush? You're allowed to do hoeing during Shemitah?" Well, Tanya, but we learn in a brisa when the pasuk says "Vashvius tishmitena unatashta," that during Shvius you have to abandon the field, you have to let go of the field. Tishmitena means let go of it, unatashta and abandon it. That includes tishmitena melakashkish. You leave it alone in the sense that you don't do kishkush, unatashta, and you abandon it in the sense melasakel that you don't remove the stones that are in the dirt there. The answer is Tre Kashkushi Habu. There's two different activities that are both called Kishkush. Chad Tumi Pili. One is filling in cracks in the ground. Where you have, Rashi says, there's places where the roots of the trees are exposed. If you don't cover them up with dirt, then the tree is going to die. That's allowed. Because anything that's needed for the basic health of the tree, you're allowed to do during Shemitah. V'chad Avruye Iloni. The other one is to avruye the trees. What is avruye? It actually says two possibilities. One is it means to plow up the dirt around the roots, like to pierce through it. La avruye comes from a word according to this explanation, means to pierce through. So therefore, it's like to soften up the dirt to make it easier for moisture to reach it. That's not that, you know, lack of doing that won't kill the tree. It just, you know, makes the tree better. The other explanation is just that avruye means meloshin brius, meloshin making the tree healthy. Whatever it is, that kind of kishkush, you're right, is also. So avruye iloni also, the kind that's making the tree better is also, because you can't do that during Shemitah. Strumi pili shori, but to close up the cracks so that the roots aren't exposed, that's allowed. another din of Ivu and Rav Elazar Tzaddik, Amar Ivu Meshum Rav Elazar Tzaddik, Al Yehalach Adam Ba'avi Shabbos, it's Yosef Gimel Parsa. A person should not walk on Shabbos more than three parsa, because you need to have enough time in the day to prepare Shabbos Tzaddik. Amar Rav Kahana Lo Yamar and El Lebeise. This that we're talking about is only when you're going home. So they don't know, they didn't have cell phones in those days, they don't know that you're coming, so they may not have anything prepared. You're going to get home, you're going to find nothing prepared, because they weren't expecting you anyway, and there's going to be problems. But if you're going, if you're walking, if you're anyway not going home, you're going to some place, you're going to a lodging, where you were planning to spend Shabbos, then you're not allowed to walk, right, then you have to make sure that you get that you're closer than three parsa away before Friday morning. Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to a hotel, you're anyway bringing your own food.
Plus, you didn't say anything about an issue.
I didn't say an issue. I said an issue. Yeah, right. Because you're going to get we'll call you something. Yeah. But if you're going to a hotel, I might not get samach. Then whatever you're carrying with you is what you're being samach on. So therefore, it's not an issue. The ikadamri, others say that no. Omer Rav Kahana, lo nitzricha el afilu beisay. On the contrary, the chiddush is that even if you're coming home and you would expect they're going to have a Shabbos to prepare it already, nevertheless, you should make sure that you're not more than three parsa away. How much more so if you're going to a hotel, you don't know. Yeah, you're taking along some food, but you don't know that there's going to be anything proper for Shabbos over there. So yes, better make sure that you're there early enough in the day. Yeah. Omer Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana says, in fact, something like that once happened to me, but I feel a cost of the house in a layashkechi, and when I got home, they didn't even have kasa de harsana, which is a kind of fried fish with fish fried in oil and flour, kind of like their version of gefilte fish. Even that they didn't have, because they were totally not expecting me to come home, so they hadn't prepared anything for Shabbos. So yes, therefore we have these rules. And Shulchan Aruch brings this halacha, but it does say also, you know, the three parsa limit is basically if you're walking. If you're riding in a carriage, or nowadays, you know, going nowadays driving or whatever, then not necessarily do you have a three parsa limit, but it does say, you know, you should at least limit yourself to the amount of time that it would take to go walk three parsa.
You cannot leave on a trip there at Shabbos.
You can't leave. Here we're talking about coming home. Here we're talking coming home. Make sure you're close enough to home before Shabbos that the last leg of your trip on Friday is not going to be too long.
When is that? Before
Chatzis? Doesn't specify. One thing the Aruch HaNer points out is that specifically, the Gemara is talking about over here about walking, because not just you have the issue that the Gemara is talking about that they may not have food prepared for you, there's also the issue, Parshat, after walking three parsa, you're going to be very tired. You're not going to have much earning Shabbos. Whereas if you're not walking, that's not what we're dealing with. Parsa is about 2.5 miles or so. Parsa, you're talking somewhere around 8 miles.
So how many in terms of mil?
Well, Parsa is 4 mil, so you're talking 12 mil.
So